environmental justice right here on the Sunday Forum. Come on back. Don't want to miss it.
WMNF Tampa.
NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Police are surrounding a pro-Palestinian encampment at the University of Southern California. The move comes ahead of commencement ceremonies at the school this week. Administrators say the Los Angeles Police Department will be clearing out the encampment, and protesters who don't leave will be arrested. Other universities stepped up security ahead of commencement ceremonies this weekend. George Hale from member station WFIU reports students at Indiana University disrupted graduation events with protests on Saturday.
Ahead of graduation, officials at Indiana University announced a ban on attendees bringing signs, flags, placards, and banners into the football stadium where the undergraduate commencement ceremony is held. The announcement followed the arrests of more than 50 protesters on the Bloomington campus in recent weeks. As students filed into the stadium, a small plane dragging a Palestinian flag began circling overhead. The banner also included a message, "Let Gaza Live," a slogan featured at ongoing demonstrations on campus calling for divestment from Israel. A second plane arrived soon after, this one carrying a banner with a different slogan, "Divest Now, Witten Resign." That sign is referring to Pamela Witten, IU's president. Students and faculty groups have condemned her handling of the protests. For NPR News, I'm George Hale in Bloomington, Indiana.
Search and rescue operations are underway in Brazil after devastating flooding and landslides. The BBC's John Donison reports more than a million people have been left without drinkable water.
30 people died when a hydroelectric dam collapsed near the city of Bento Gonçalves. Brazil's military has been brought in to help with the rescue effort. The state's civil defense force released video showing a tiny baby being winched to safety by helicopter.
The BBC's John Donison reporting. Voters in Panama are heading to the polls today to pick a new president. Manuel Rueda reports the election comes amid growing frustration with the nation's democracy.
There are 8 candidates running in today's election, but one of them has a solid lead in opinion polls. José Raúl Mulino from the conservative Realizing Goals Party has promised to boost investment in infrastructure projects and create job programs for young people. But it remains to be seen how that could happen. Panama shut down a copper mine last year that produced 4% of its GDP. That decision followed large protests by environmental groups and others who are angry over a contract to renew the mine's operations for the next 2 decades. There's a growing distrust of politicians in Panama, and corruption regularly ranks as the issue that worries people the most in opinion polls. For NPR News, I'm Manuel Rueda in Panama.
This is NPR. The criminal hush money trial of former President Donald Trump resumes in New York City this week. Last week, the jury heard testimony from a lawyer who negotiated deals at the center of the case. The 150th Kentucky Derby has come to an end in Louisville with Mystic Dan as its champion, edging out Sierra Leone and Forever Young in a photo finish decided by a nose. As Louisville Public Media's Giselle Roden reports, the Derby is the most popular horse race in the country, but it's also known for its memorable fashion.
Before Mystic Dan was crowned this year's Derby champion, visitors were celebrating more than just horse racing. Many around the horse track were clad in traditional pastels and enormous floral hats, but others, like Pete Andy and Bill Bush, strayed away from the traditional color scheme. The brothers are Louisville natives, now living in Baton Rouge. They sported tricolored blazers with purple, gold, and white stripes, with white cowboy hats as a nod to their favorite college, Louisiana State University. Bill said it's become a tradition among he and his siblings.
Well, we started this about 4 or 5 years ago, dressing in purple and gold for LSU, and every year we kind of change it up just a little bit.
More than 165,000 people were expected at Churchill Downs this year. For NPR News, I'm Giselle Roden in Louisville.
A zebra named Sugar that's been roaming around the foothills in western Washington state for days was captured last night. She escaped with three other zebras from a trailer near Seattle. Animal control officers say Sugar appears to be in good condition. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa, music and news.
Greeting, earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only DJ Spaceship reminding you that every Monday morning, that's right, every Monday morning on WMNF from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., tune in as me and my co-pilot Nate Dogg give you the music you love, the topics to get you talking, and the motivation to get you out your bed to start your week off right.
If you love classic soul, R&B, Caribbean, gospel, hip-hop, or house music, and if you love podcasting and exclusive interviews, if you love urban culture and urban music, then you'll really love the Urban Cafe channel. You can find it here on HD2 if you have an HD2 radio, or you can go to WMNF.org and download our mobile app so that you can listen to it all the time.
Hi, this is Sherry, WMNF's development director. Tropical Heat Wave is coming May 4th at the Cuban Club, and now there are more ways to experience this iconic festival. General admission tickets are available now. However, there's also the Ride the Wave ticket. When you ride the wave, you beat the lines and get access to the Oasis tent near the patio stage with food, drinks, seating, and shade. Plus, you can meet and greet with WMNF DJs you know and love. Ride the wave to WMNF's Tropical Heat Wave at tropicalheatwave.org.
Tuned to the Sunday Forum here on your non-commercial radio station, WMNF, with your host, Walter L. Smith II. And I'm just part of the crew. My name is Patro Mabili, and we are taking your telephone calls and your emails. You can write us, DJ, at WMNF.org.
Elements, earth, wind, and fire right here on WMNF 88.5 FM. Let's go. Those trumpets, though. Those trumpets, though. I've always wanted to do that, man. The elements.
That's right. Earth, I like that.
Wind and fire right here on WMNF. That was, man, listen, let me tell you something. I enjoy upbeat music like that. Earth, Wind, and Fire has always been an inspirational part of music history. Not just black music history, but music history, right? You hear so much positivity in what they in the messages of their songs, man, and hope for the future because they're so futuristic.
Yeah.
Right? You see the black futurism, the Afrofuturism in what they're doing, but you see the dedication to happiness, right?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, man!
It's part of the soundtrack of my life. Remember Reasons?
Oh, man.
September.
Come on, my brother's wedding song. My oldest brother's wedding song is an Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
Okay,
you know. So come on, yeah, but, you know that. So hey, that's awesome. Hey, listen, we want to welcome you back to the Sunday Forum. And we have a new guest online watching, Yolanda Rodriguez Smith.
All right.
Hi, honey. Hey, honey. So my wife is watching, so I got to be on my best behavior.
That's right.
I'm always on my best behavior, even when I'm acting bad. All right, man. Hey, listen. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Sunday Forum here on 88.5 FM. You know, we were talking about this issue of the energy crisis that's happening right now. You know what? In the background, can I hear some of that? And I can you play that? And Love Goes On. Or is that the groove? Oh, my gosh. Oh. Not the groove.
Okay.
Not the groove. Not the groove. Oh, my gosh. We're going to get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute, folks. But listen, I want people to really take a look at what's happening in your own household. Take a look at your electric bill, at your energy bill. Okay, we talk about this a lot. I talk about this a lot, right? But there's a reason for me talking about it. I'm not just talking. Listen, 20-something years in this game, right? 20-something years in this game. When I talk about it, need to pay attention. Need to pay attention. The last time I talked about this type of stuff, I was talking about brownfields, right?
That's right.
It's about as a means of reparation and a means of being able to redevelop our communities. Right. And we have not taken advantage of that yet. But we're starting to see the advantages of it. Yeah. Right? Okay. Now, I talked about the contamination that was taking place as a part of our redlining history, right? Talked about that, okay? We talked about it, and you know, people would talk about it, but they were trying to make the connection. They were like, you know what? Yeah, that did happen, but I didn't think it was involving this. Yes, it does involve environmental justice. Yes, it is environmental racism. Yes, it is a part of that. It is what was done to you, to us. And when you see children, but Billy, you grew up with it.
Oh, yeah.
You grew up with it. In the coastal area, right?
That's
Louisiana,
right.
Mississippi area right there.
Yeah.
What do you guys face over there?
Well, I mean, the air, the quality of the air is the most important thing because you feel, you can smell that metallic quality in the smoke that is billowing out of the stacks. And so, you know, you get used to it, and I think that's how you deal with it. You just, because you feel powerless up against the industry, you feel the politicians are not going to prioritize your neighborhood's quality, air quality, or your health until it's, you know, it is, you know, you can't just overlook it. You can't just ignore it. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to prioritize anything that's going to help industry continue to drive towards profits. And of course, some of those profits end up in the politicians' coffers. So, you know, it's going to take priority over what should take priority, and that's people over profits. That's neighborhoods over profits. You know, you're going to make your money, but the neighborhood and people's lives should be prioritized, you know, and whatever cost it takes to make certain that that quality of life is respected and maintained should take priority. And I think that should be the call. That should be the hue and call of we the people, because we have to keep putting it in their faces, or they'll just hope that we'll forget about it, you know, until you get close to the next election. Then they might have some campaign promises. They might say some nice things until the election is over, and then it's back to business as usual.
Right.
And that has been the case politically in this country for far too long, as the moneyed classes, as the capitalist lobbyists continue to hold sway in the halls of power. You know, the people are the ones with the real power. But we can't just express it at election time. We have to always be in their faces.
All the time. All the time. And there has to be a... Oh, my gosh. You just I sat up there and messed up the dog on broadcast. That's all right. We cannot afford to... we can't afford
rest.
To keep doing this type of thing, man. It's so bad. It's so bad. When we talk about issues around what's happening now, and you say things like, and because we can't dismiss what you said, right? They dismiss it. They dismiss it all the time.
Right. In hopes that you just get over it, forget about it.
Right. And they make comments like this. Ready? They make comments that like, well, they're poor. What are they going to do about it?
They say that out loud nowadays.
Yeah, they do. They say it out loud. They say it out loud. They're poor. What are they going to do about it? White folks, let me just say this. When they say they're poor, what are you going to do about it? Do you think they're just talking about black people? I'm interested to know, if you're white and you listen to this right now, do you think they're just talking about black people? Mm. They're poor, so what are they going to do about it? They're talking about you, too. They're talking about you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it for a moment. It's poor white people.
Hey, definitely.
It's middle-class white people that live in our neighborhoods. Right? And if our middle class and our impoverished class, if you will, are all in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. Am I wrong, Billy?
No, you're right.
Okay, read the book, Black Picket Fences. Read the book. Okay? Let me tell you, it talks about the economic breakdown of our community, right? And the experiences that we have growing up. You know, what do you have when you're an adult? What are your experiences? And you know, I'm listening to my man Don Scott right now. He says, white people don't consider themselves to be poor.
Yeah. until it's convenient to consider yourself, right? Because politicians are constantly saying, you know, why care about your issue? Some, you know, progressive issue when people have to go to work every day. People have to put food on the table. When it's convenient to talk about white people's poverty,
right,
and
right,
the troubles that they're having in everyday life, then it's okay to talk about it. But for the most part, they pretty much want poor people out of sight, out of mind, and hope that white supremacy keeps poor whites from identifying with poor black people and people of color generally.
This is true. This is true. You know, the other night, it puts me in the mind of a conversation that I had the other night. My wife and my children and I were sitting down and we were having Bible study, right? And as we were reading passages from Romans, right? And as we were reading the passages, one of the things that stuck out to me was the ability or our mindset, right? Our mindset of how we mobilize and why we mobilize. We are called, and I'm not trying to get all religious-y, all right? I'm just calling it like I see it, okay? Our movements began in church, right? Our civil rights movements began in church.
Well, it was part of an internationalist movement, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you need W.E.B. Du Bois to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So take it out of that context and then into a broader context. Yes, right. You're exactly right. But when we talk about these things, and we sat there, one of the things we said, you know, people are called to do certain things. Right? God calls us to do certain things. If you believe like I believe, okay? Everybody has a destiny, a thing that they're supposed to do. We're here for a reason. Right, and there are those of us, in these stories that we have these favorite Bible stories, and one I'm pointing out the fact that one of my favorite Bible stories was, or two of my favorite Bible stories are of men that I hold in very high esteem, Samson and Moses, And I'm looking at the Samson story, not for the Samson and Delilah story, but for Samson and what he was born to do. What was Samson born to be? He was born to be a judge.
Hmm.
That's what he was born to be. He was given the power to eliminate the enemies that they were going to be facing, right?
Or power to bring justice.
Or power to bring justice. Exactly. To bring justice, right? But he kept messing around with all these women and showing off and not doing what God told him to do. And because he didn't do that, he suffered a downfall. But when he suffered that downfall, he redeemed himself. He redeemed himself. And he finally carried out the very thing that he was brought here to do, even though it caused his own death, his own demise. And that was when he was blinded, he grew his hair back, he went and found those pillars in the middle of the square, and he pushed down the pillars, bringing down the ceiling to kill all of the Philistines, right? All the enemies, right? Okay, so I say that to say this. We have enemies, man. We have enemies. And it's not a joke. It's not funny. We have enemies. And we've had them for a long time. And for some reason, there are those of us who have not reached that level of understanding that we have a greater purpose than just nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's this thing about hope and despair that overtakes us for some reason. We can ill afford to have this thing, as I said, of hope and despair that overtakes us. We can't allow that to happen. We've got to train our children.
Despair overtakes hope.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Despair overtakes hope. And the children accept it. And they don't, you know, half the children that are in despair, a lot of them don't even know they're in despair.
Right.
Just like, you know, my mother used to tell me there were kids that were poor and didn't even realize they were poor.
Oh, that's for almost a lot of people. You hear how many adults you say, well, you know, we were poor coming up, but I didn't know it. We had a great time.
Yeah.
You know, we ate, we had a home, you know, but we were poor.
We made snow angels like everybody else made them. A little dirtier, but you know, snow angels.
Yeah.
But point being, there's a calling on each generation, right? And so it's incumbent upon us. Now I had to say this in order to push forward with where we're going, right? With this issue of being in the vanguard of our own environmental justice fight, of any of our fights, for that matter. But in particular, because this is our subject, this was it. And it was very important for me I wanted to point this out because that was profound to me that night. It was a revelation. And now I say a revelation, it's not really a revelation. It's something that I've always thought about. But I thought it prudent this morning to say it. I thought it prudent this morning to say it. It's funny that you play that song right now.
That's the way of the world.
That's the way of the world. Listen, these children, this whole generation that feels they don't have anything to fight for, or they don't have the means to fight it. Let me tell you something. If you listen to the sound of my voice right now, please understand, you have something to fight for. Your life is worth something. Your health is worth something.
Definitely.
And when these people do the things they do at Tampa Electric Company, Mosaic, whoever, Florida Power, whatever they're doing, whoever they are, and they put your life in jeopardy. They're putting your life in jeopardy. They've been doing it for years. Years. And there's such despair. Understand, every single person under the sound of my voice, understand when I tell you, you have the power to stop this. You have the power to transform your communities. There's nothing stopping you. And if you believe like I believe, there's a higher power that's saying to you right now, that should be saying to you right now, get up. Get up. And do something about what your circumstance is. Change your circumstance. Only you can change your circumstance. Only you can change your circumstance.
And I think also solidarity, because
there's
a need to start to pull these issues together, connect the dots. I mean, let's look at, we've been talking about women like my mother who had to suffer cancer, different cancers, because of environmental impacts of industry over the years, neglected. And we see now the state of Florida telling doctors you could be jailed if you end the pregnancy of a woman because of these, you know, any issue. And so that's going to make it harder for women to get health care because doctors don't want to risk it. And there could be a lot of environmental damages that are leading to health issues, especially in pregnant women, that might at times require the doctor to make a hard call, such as ending a pregnancy. But that's going to be impossible now in this state as of this month. You know, we are living under this new law in the state that says after 6 weeks, you can't seek health care on that and on ending a pregnancy. And that's going to put a chilling effect on health generally, you know, and I mean generally, because if the mama, if the mother isn't right, then the children, the child isn't going to be right.
That's right. And you saw it firsthand. You saw it firsthand. You lived it. And it's the truth, man. It's the honest and goodness truth. In the Gulf area, when I went to D.C. to lobby for environmental justice issues regarding coal and coal ash, right? It was a problem. We saw we encountered all types of health issues that were in that room alone, right? Little children, you know, I always talk about the children with the burning lungs. Literally, there was a child in there like that. Her daddy was dying and didn't know how much time he had because they couldn't afford to go to the doctor. But he knew he was dying because the one time he did go to the doctor, he told him, "You're terminal." Mm-hmm. You know? So this is what he had to live with. This is what he has to live with. This is what people have to live with. And these people in these energy companies and these other industrialized operations that are out there, they live in these ivory towers, as I call them, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't care.
No.
They don't care. All they care about is if you pay that gas bill or that light bill. Never mind the fact that the gas bill you just paid for more gas to kill you. Never mind the fact that they're not pushing for a cleaner tomorrow sooner. They'd rather wait and burn more gas and burn more fossil fuels until 2050.
Yeah, because they're unimpacted. And even if they are impacted, they can afford to buy themselves a new lifestyle.
Exactly. If some necessary. New lungs and some new...
Exactly. A new home and a new place if they want to.
A new heart. Yeah. A new heart, man. You know, this is the stuff that we have to deal with. And it's like... Okay, so anyway. We talk about May 23rd. May 23rd at 1 o'clock at 1240 Ray Charles Boulevard. Come out, be a part of the Emera Tico shareholders meeting. That meeting is being held at 1 p.m. 1 p.m. Come and see what's happening. Okay? See how they interact with each other. See how they make choices about you and your life. These people are in a room. And they're making a choice about what they're going to do to you.
Yeah.
So You be there so that you can make your voice be heard. If we can get in, we can get your voice on there. We can do it because we have the shares, right? And we're able to say something. We're able to do something. And you know, that's great. That's a wonderful thing. But there's more that we can do. We can strategize. We can protest. We can let our voices be heard, make our demands. Because they're governed by a commission that is appointed it's appointed by the governor.
Which means they are constantly working on propaganda.
Yes.
They're constantly working on lies to tell you what they're not doing or not to tell you what they are doing.
Listen, man.
We got a few calls on the line.
Let's get them.
813.
I'm sorry, brother. 813-239-9663. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, that energy omnibus bill we talked about last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about running the gas lines through the state of Florida. Well, they run those gas lines. Where do you think they're going to run them? Where do you think they're going to store that gas? Come on, man. Caller?
Yeah. This is Furlong calling from the Berg.
Who is this now?
Solar. Yeah.
Solar. Oh, Solar. Okay. What's going on, brother?
Tribute to the Red Nation, indigenous people of North America. What we need to do, be in solidarity with them. We need to let the young generation know, get in contact with the Red Nation, the indigenous people of North America. They always taught us and had the blueprint on how you protect Mother Earth, the spiritual earth. First Voices Radio is another link. Let's get in solidarity and liberate with the indigenous people of North America. Stop isolating ourselves from them. If you want to mobilize with the native people. And that's how we can solve these issues. Teach the youth the truth and let them. I ask the youth that listening to this program, contact First Voices Radio and the Red Nation, the indigenous people. They've been fighting North American colonials for hundreds of years with the genocide that's brought to them. So that's my plea that the young generation contact First Voices Radio, the Red Nation, indigenous people. And liberate
with them. All right.
Can't hurt to also learn some how to take care of the earth techniques.
Absolutely.
You know, from these ancient cultures. You know, in fact, I think, you know, one of the Thanksgiving stories, tales that they left out was that the Europeans knew absolutely nothing. So they had to be taught, you know, how to till this land and make some food for themselves to survive. Mm-hmm. And then the thanks the Native Americans got was to be holocausted off that very land. So, yeah, but it, Walter, I'm glad the caller Solar mentioned that because today is also the day that Canada and the United States is looking at or celebrating or commemorating actually Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Awareness Day. That's today.
Mm.
Oh, and on the African continent, Ethiopia is also celebrating their pushing back, throwing the Italians out on this day in World War II.
Sorry, Italy.
Time for you to go.
Bye, Italy.
This is the day that they extricated the Italians out of Ethiopia, and they're celebrating that today. It's called Patriots Day in Ethiopia today.
Governor DeSantis, they got rid of your homeboy Mussolini. Your homeboy, your role model.
There you go.
All right, so let's go to this next call.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Hey, good morning and happy Cinco de Mayo.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right. My grand happy birthday to Sky. Today is her birthday. She's Cinco de Mayo, baby.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was listening to the conversation you guys had, and, yeah, I hit a note I was interested in talking about, and that's this propaganda machine they got. The other night I was watching Fox News, and they come on with all this slanderous propaganda, man.
You're not used to that yet.
No, but listen, B-Lay, this was outlandish. They were saying the people in college, the college is breeding terrorists because they standing up against the conflict in Israel and Palestine. He started labeling the students as terrorists, bro.
That's not even surprising, but yeah, I think that's outrageous. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I haven't heard them call one January 6th protester a terrorist yet.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, they trying to push this propaganda machine real quick. Like, I saw where they were saying, like, if we sympathize with them, that we're terrorist groups and all this crap. So I just want to let everybody know that's where they're trying to push the envelope on you. If you don't agree with them, then they're disagreeable Elohim. They don't have any. They don't have anything to grant you except for some evil hate and wickedness, which is supposed to be outlandish according to our attributes and tributaries. They're trying to say this place was built on God, love, and peace. But it's looking like it's built on wickedness, hate, and evil.
Mm-hmm. And let's see how much hatred and lies we can throw around, because, you know, it bothers me, Ron and Walter, that Rick Scott is using Nazi talking points with this socialism thing that he's been on. And, you know, they can't claim that, you know, they hate anti-Semitism on the college campuses they claim to be seeing right now, when they said nothing about Charlottesville and Florida when all of those anti-Semitic protesters showed up at Disney World. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And where was all this talking points then?
No, it's all politics. He's just trying to make a way for him to have some more easy cake. He ripped the government off and they still gave him a job. And then, like a friend told me the other day, he said, they finna put a felon in there as a president. I said, oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, it's their joke.
They want to. I said, they do what they want to. I was talking to him because he's Caucasian. I said, y'all do what y'all want to. I said, y'all, yeah, that ain't, I don't even want to hear about it.
So,
I about a felon. Yeah, like, that's funny. Oh, we got a felon. I said, yeah, but why a felon can't get a job when he get out? Why he can't get a house when he get out? Why he can't go to college when he get out? But he can be a felon and be the president? Okay. Okay. Let's get the picture straight. Get the picture straight, America.
It sets a whole new precedence.
You know,
it's an entirely new precedence in terms of what we're able to do or not.
Well, I'm gonna leave it like this here. They always changing the law and the narrative to fit their necessity, whatever that.
Their agenda.
Yep.
It's green too, because you look out here where I live. I leave you with this. There's a gas station, so they're gonna run it all out throughout where I live. That in Mango, they already got the gas stations up and they're building $500,000 houses. So they're running gas all through them people booty, and they don't understand. They're sitting on a bomb, but they will build. They built a, what you call that park? Where you can't even fly on the drones. It's a drone park out here, landscaped like a golf course. But there's people right across from it sleeping on a bus station and all this, man. You see what I'm saying? They refuse to see that, but somebody needs a drone park. We need a little drone park.
Mm-hmm.
You see, man, that is outrageous. I'm just like, this is what they do with your tax dollars. They'll take it. A dog park. Really? A dog needs a park? Really?
First class, too, man. I'm talking about first class dog park.
Get out of here.
With a pool and everything.
Just let them keep on. You're going to have a sauna, smoking cigars in there.
And,
I mean, people, wake up. We're being over. Extremists. We're being dealt with by extremists.
You're right. That's the word.
They're not concerned about the average, everyday Joe Blow.
No.
They're extreme on people who have power and ability to destroy our course of life, and that's who we're dealing with. They have not one clue, nor do they care. So,
yeah, right, and they bounce around to suit the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, just change the law. Why don't you?
They do it. Hey, man, thanks, man. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate y'all very much more. Y'all just don't know. You make my day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you, boo. All right.
Yeah, I just tapped in for a minute. Y'all keep it going.
All right.
For sure. Go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Mr. DeAndre, how you doing? Mr. Mobility, Mr. Walter Smith II.
How you doing, brother?
All right.
Man, I'm hanging in there. I wanted to discuss matters of environmentalism. And then when I heard y'all talking about the matters of propaganda. I wanted to get on into that.
Okay.
And some of the youth out there showing out and some of that. But on the real, there's so much, man, I could go on and on, but I will say this. Model minority myth is a funny thing because every now and again you get the impression, of course, by racists that, you know, look at the Chinese or the Asians. They have such a great work ethic. What's wrong with y'all? You know, you young black folk. Then, you know, you'll get that about the South Asian community. Then you turn around and you start getting about some Latin Isle communities. And then they just keep going and going and going. I'm like, well, then, you know, what's so good about their community where they're so educated? Some of them come here very educated and skilled, incredible craftsmen and craftswomen know how to do incredible things. And it occurs to me that in many of those instances, they're coming from places with skill sets they were able to develop through their family or through their community. And then I recall on some of those skill sets that were, you know, bought out by Walmart, so to say, and small mom and pop shops is taken down by banks and corporations around here. And I'm thinking to myself, all that loss, so, like, how much more are they going to complain about communism? Not that I'm advocating for it necessarily. The Bernie Sanders movement.
Yeah, Democratic Socialist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Democratic Socialism, I'm down with that. But how often are they going to keep giving us these examples of great craftsmen and workers and all that from these communist, you know, so-called tyrannical communist countries, helping them display themselves here. We're talking about, you know, that model minority myth, propaganda, so to say. You know, how much are they going to keep doing that? To somebody's like, well, how did it get so good? Why we weren't able to hold on to what we have here? Why it's all under highways? Why is it all under forest, like the Devil's Punch Bowl? Why is it all under, somebody else's names on the deed now? Or all this cultural genocide.
Underwater, see whole towns underwater and so forth.
Exactly. Right. You know, I just, that frustrates me. And I want to discuss more in the way of environmentalism, some things I've seen. Reported on as of recent. But I'm just going to leave it right there. It's too early. I didn't even have my coffee yet, man.
Go get your coffee, man.
Get your coffee, brother.
Yes, sir. Hey, y'all be well. Thank you. I'll be listening now.
All right. Hey, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Billy, I don't know, man. This is where we are. I mean...
But we have to stand against the propaganda. I mean, he asked the question, it is going to continue to happen for as long as somebody keeps responding to it and rewarding it. I think I heard an interesting comment, though, that we keep hearing this anti-socialism, or they keep bringing up communism, even though it has really nothing to do with nothing. But it does work as deep propaganda for the Cuban, that old Cuban community. But I understand that we have to make certain that we don't look at all Latinos as a monolith, because I think the Puerto Rican community is outraged by this kind of propaganda constantly happening every election in the state of Florida and are not responding to it. And so I think that we...
There's a growing number. I've always referred to the Puerto Rican voting bloc as a sleeping giant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they have really grown entirely into themselves yet in terms of a voter bloc that they could be. Their voter bloc is way stronger than what has been displayed. Way stronger. And And I've seen it. I mean, we've all seen it. Listen, if you don't think it is, go to a Puerto Rican Day parade. Go to a Puerto Rican Day parade.
Right here in Tampa, yeah.
In Orlando.
Yeah, there too.
I mean, just go and see, and that's what we're dealing with. Marcos Vilar, my man's over there working right now with that group that deals with that. You know,
and we're going to hear this propaganda and this attempt to try to divide and conquer quote unquote minorities because they can't solve problems. They don't want to solve problems, especially these environmental problems. They don't have an answer except let's just keep caving to the capitalist interest, you know, whatever they want, then that's what we want. And besides, I think oftentimes they're out of step even with capitalism because capitalists understand and know that it is more profitable to be concerned about the environment and good governance of your company. And all of these issues should be something that your company is judged by. And these politicians are trying to go the opposite direction. Right. And these capitalists even know that if you want to continue to maintain profits, then you want to compete on that level where you're supporting good environment, good governance, and social justice.
The environmental, we're talking about today, this issue of the environmental crisis, the energy crisis that we face right now, right here in the Tampa Bay area and globally.
That's right.
Right here on the Sunday Forum. We're gonna take let's take a music break. Okay.
Right.
Let's go back to what we said we're gonna do. Let's groove. We got the groove.
Yeah, you wanna groove.
Let's groove tonight.
All right. Yeah. We'll try to find that because it's all over the place right now.
All right, here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, again. We are talking about the issue of the energy crisis that we are facing right now. If you think that we are not in an energy crisis, you're wrong. You're very wrong. Trust me. When you robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you, in other words, you taking from your budget for food, to put food on the table, and you need to pay for utilities, and you can't because it's sky high. That's a problem. And we need to do something about it. And the only way you're going to do anything about it at all is if you, you get another job. So we gotta work on workforce, right? There's a lot we got to do, but we got to take a stand. We got to do what we have to do in order to improve our lot right now in our own communities. But the only people that can change that is us. We cannot depend on clearly. What's been shown to us is our county commission has not shown us any love. None. They put us off for meetings that are just ridiculous meetings. They don't want to help. They don't want to do anything to assist. Same thing with the city. The city seems like they're just scared to do anything about it.
Scared, afraid of lawsuits and all getting tied up in all kinds of traps economically, financially. So, you know, they do anything to protect themselves, not necessarily the city.
Man, they need to do something badly. We got to do it. Hey, we're going to groove right now with the elements again. Earth, wind, and fire right here. On WMNF 88.5 FM. right, all right, all right. Hey, man, the elements, man. I can't do like Joe Bullard does it up in Tallahassee. But boy, he sure does it. He does it right. He does it right when he introduces the elements, man. Earth, Wind, and Fire here on WMNF 88.5 FM, Tampa. Listen, folks, we want to thank you for joining us here on the Sunday Forum. As we talk about this energy crisis, and we talk about what we need to do in order to mobilize. And we're going to talk more about this as the time goes on. But remember, please, a couple of things. Number one, stand strong. Number two, make sure you show up at these events that are about what we need to do in order to change our lot. One of them being on the 23rd of May, the 23rd of May at 1 o'clock, at 1240 Ray Charles Boulevard, 1240 Ray Charles Boulevard, the Reed Apartments. Join us for the Emeritico shareholders meeting. You want to be there for that so you can see how that goes and we can strategize and make sure that we are mobilizing. So we strategize, we want to mobilize. We want to make sure that we are changing our lot and what's going on around us. Listen, folks, please remember Eric Gales and your contribution to him in his situation, stage 5 failure of the kidneys. Man, this gentleman's trying to do everything the best he can, but he needs your help. Tanya Lewis, stage 3 cervical cancer. She's doing the best she can. She needs your help. Do what you can, folks. Help them out, please. And as always, from my voice to the radio waves, to the hearts and the minds of the people, we love you. And there isn't one single solitary thing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum. Mabile,
yeah.
I think we have a new outro we want to try out.
Yeah, let's try that.
This is KRS-One, one of my favorites. The teacher, the poor righteous teacher. KRS-One. Listen to the lyrics, folks. I'm teaching your mind. I am reaching with all that I'm teaching, that love and that peace, and it never will weaken. The truth I am speaking is praise. Truth I am speaking, get used to repeating. The youth I am reaching with proof of this teaching. I speak for a reason, so they can believe in the truth of MC and his praise. Crack in the back of these rappers, I'm passing these actors, I'm faster. Spitting metal, that's a ripping pumps forever. We becoming better, spreading love forever. Crazy. You hearing a pro, I'm spitting a flow that you know. Higher level thinking, I come to show. Knowledge of self is a thing you must know. You see what they play. And they say we betraying the culture we making, exploiting and taking. Look at them faking what we are creating. Now you mistaken what's real and what's faking. This they will do for the money they making. They sell out their people, their culture, their nation. Sell out their soul for a radio station so they can be playing in heavy rotation. You see what I'm saying? Our culture they taking, but that's not enough. It's our spirit they breaking in. Only the culture can see what I'm saying, cause only the culture will see them betraying. You see what they playing, you see what they saying, and you cannot see us. Our people ain't slaying. Well, maybe you do it, then maybe you don't, and then maybe you will, and then maybe you won't. But it's our community that's losing hope. The greed and the crime and the police are joking. The TV is playing that okey dope. A lot of people are dying. You seeing them joke with that cheating and lying. You seeking to vote when they telling our people now. This is they hope, but did anything change with the last vote? No. The time before that did we pass up? No. Or even getting this chapter 11 while racists with weapons are shooting our reverence. A message from heaven with all that you get and get understanding. Overstanding this lesson with all of the bling and the cash that you get. And you trouble for sure. It's the poor you neglecting. The thieves and the liars, they all in your section. I'm bringing my people a different direction. Crazy. My lyrics is crazy. I'm coming so crazy. They must be crazy. Yo, so here goes another of my sisters and brothers. It's obvious KRS ain't like these others. I've been at the bed while they under the covers. I spit off the head while they babble and stutter. Not three and not two, but the one is my number. I'm spitting my written. I tour every summer with everything. Yeah, I get younger and younger, but someone to doubt and continue to wonder. It's crazy. They continue to blunder. It's crazy. They continue.